You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to the Hot Texas Swing Band doing Hot Texas.
And we are so delighted you're joining us right now for episode 125, or you catch it later streaming on Podbean and at LA Talk Radio and such. We're just so happy to have you back with us. Who are our guests tonight?
Our guest tonight, Henry C. Park, of True West Magazine, and author Susanna Lane with her book, Enduring Promise.
We have welcome. A full house. We love to have a full house. It's so fun seeing everybody on screen. Hello, hello. Yeah. Hello. Henry, where are you joining us from?
I'm back in L.A. I'm back at home.
Wonderful. Right. Wonderful. And Susanna,
where are you?
I'm in the North Georgia mountains.
All right.
And did that storm did that storm go through that you were expecting the other day?
Yes. Yeah. We had a lot of wind and a lot of hard rain. Yep.
All right.
We had a lot of wind today. No rain, but we had a lot of wind.
Yeah, we even had a roadway, one of those alerts, you know, that's so loud that comes through on your phone, and it said, "If you're on the road, get off now, because of a dust storm."
Dust storm.
Yeah. Oh, and Henry, what's your weather like? We might as well catch up coast to coast.
Sure, it's damp, but I mean, I'm coming just back from New York. I left 20 degree weather in the morning and got, to 80 degree weather in the evening. So I'm not complaining. My wife's complaining. She considers 50 cold.
Yeah. Well, we are delighted. Henry joins us for the first Thursday of every month and has for, all the episodes since we have aired on the Rendezvous with the Writer and for years before that on the Writer's Block. And so we're so happy to have you. So go ahead, Henry, and tell us, what's happening in Western film and TV we need to know about?
Okay, well, I'm delighted to say that there are plenty of new Westerns either here or on the way. Taylor Sheridan's 1923 is back on Paramount Plus for a second season. The story of the intermediate Dutton family is a sequel to 1883, which is a prequel to Yellowstone. The first two of eight episodes are available now. And while I'm not a binge type, I'd strongly suggest watching them together. The first one gets you set up and up to speed. And the second is more satisfying, really. And if you haven't seen season one yet, you have to see that first, because you've got characters all over the globe and you will not understand what the relationships are if you start here.
That is true.
Yes, It's kind of mind-boggling otherwise. Have you guys caught any of it yet?
Yes.
Yep, we have. We just watched the first one this year and second. Yeah. So we actually went back
to season one and watched the last episode because we knew we wouldn't remember.
And then we started
season two.
Yeah, safaris, tigers, lions, boats. I tell you.
Boats, everything you can imagine. On the edge of my seat.
Right. Now, happily, Harrison Ford is back. Timothy Dalton is still there and still a pervert.
He's a bad guy.
Helen Mirren is back and shooting everything in sight. And episode three plays on Sunday, March 9th. Also on Sunday, Tony Hillerman's Dark Winds season two arrives on AMC and will be streaming on AMC Plus and Netflix and Plex. And as Ann Hillerman, Tony's daughter and your soon-to-be guest, notes, quote, season three draws on two of his novels, Dance Hall of the Dead, and Sinister Pig. But as Tony Hillerman often said, movies are not books, so expect many creative changes. The great Zahn McLaren is back as Joe Leaphorn. Kiowa Gordon is back as Jim Chi, and so are all of the other regulars back. In case you didn't see the end of season two, I'll just say that Leaphorn did something a cop is not supposed to do, and there are serious repercussions, and I am told some supernatural elements that are new to the stories.
Mm-hmm. She confirmed today, Henry, we're looking forward to having you with us on May 1st.
Oh, that's great. There are a couple of new Western features coming very soon. Guns of Redemption gets released tomorrow, Friday, though I don't know where. Gunslingers will be released on Friday, April 11th, and they're both from director Brian Skiba, whose work I don't know, but he's directed 40 features, including 2023's Dead Man's End. Guns of Redemption stars Casper Van Diem, Sean Astin, and Jeff Fahey, and Gunslingers stars Nicolas Cage, Stephen Dorff, Heather Graham, and Costas Mandalore. And there's a brand spanking new horror western available on Prime for $5 called Blood in Them Hills. It's about a bank robber, a doctor, a midwife, and a baby locked in a game of survival against hungry cannibals, a murderous outlaw gang, and the ancient curse of a Wendigo demon. Co-starring our mutual pal, Peter Sciarrico.
Wow.
Oh, wow, Peter Sciarrico.
Henry, what was the name again?
It's called Blood in Them Hills. Just Blood in Them Hills.
All right, we got to pick that one up.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, now, please check out the new True West magazine featuring my interview with the late, great Chris Christopherson. And check out my newest. Here. Oh, great. Thank you.
Right in front of us.
Outstanding. I can't find my copies. I've been cleaning the office. Thank you for having me.
And, we gotcha.
Please check out my newest blog for the INSP channel, What Makes a Great Western Movie, where I reverse engineer some classics to see what they all have in common. My current Henry's Western Roundup features my interview with the late Claude Jarman Jr., the kid who starred in The Yearling. And you can read all about this and so much more at henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Henry, are you going back to the Tombstone Book Festival by any chance?
You know, I would love to, but I'm not sure. I'm probably too late to make a reservation, and where I travel from day to day is so up in the air.
Yeah,
I just couldn't.
Yeah. I figured.
Also, I don't have a new book. Are you going?
Well, we are not. We are so upset. We are not going to Tombstone or Tucson. And we just wish. I see all the posts of everybody going, and I'm like, why aren't we going? But we're going to the Western Writers Conference in Amarillo in June, and we just decided this year we couldn't do both. So. Western writers.
we want to ask a question or two about this article.
Oh, okay. Jim said, Jim is the we are Christopherson fans. So, okay, Henry, you're not off the hook quite yet.
Okay. Yeah, this is a famous article. You had a tough time getting this interview, as I understand.
Oh, yeah. It was a very long day and night, and I believe a bit of rain, too. It was a cold one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gave him in the trailer. It says it's 7 o'clock after shooting, so he was pretty worn out. You probably were too, actually.
Yeah, so well, he was working hard all day. I was just standing around waiting to talk to him.
You know, I want to ask another question. You have here, you're talking about, as you always do, you did a review of this new Blu-ray adaption of an old movie. And this is the one called Blood Simple, 1984.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the one with the Coen brothers. Was this the first movie the Coen brothers did?
I think it's the second one. It's the first that was, you know, the other one I think was done as a student film at NYU maybe, and just it sort of extended into a feature. And this was their first feature. That, you know, all around planned thing. And if you, it's just a great picture to watch. It's very well done. It's very Coen brothers. And the commentary is terrific because they both talk all about how incredibly disorganized they were and how all sorts of things that we think are great dramatic choices was because they ran out of film and things like that. They're very candid, and I think it's just inspirational for anybody that's looking to make a film.
I thought very interesting. I went through and got some information off the web. You know, one of the Coen brothers married a star lady of the show.
That's right.
Frances McDormand.
Right.
I guess I wasn't that familiar with her, but she's won several Academy Awards. So
there you go.
She's a fine actress, and she's very good in that. And it's funny because she tends to play, I'm trying to not say this in a sexist way, dumpy kind of roles. She plays unglamorized characters. And one of the really nice things in Blood Simple is she gets to be attractive.
Ah.
Yeah.
So before we take a quick break and get in depth with Susanna Lane, Susanna, do you have any questions for Henry or any comment that you'd love to make?
Well, I read your article in True West Magazine.
That's good.
I've been
following
that. Yes. And great. But I'm really enjoying this, the greatest Westerns. I'm rereading and I'm saying, I have to get caught up on some of these movies because I love them. I love a lot of them, not everyone, but yeah.
Thank you. That's what I love to hear is when somebody reads something in the book. And of course it isn't one you have to read in order from beginning to end. It's
right.
Like 80 different articles. And I just love it when somebody says, I hadn't seen that in 20 years, or I never saw that particular film, and you got me interested enough to watch it. And that, that's the whole point. Thank you so much.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to be talking in great depth with our guest, Susanna Lane. But right now, if you are a writer, or you want to be a writer, or you have written and you want to get your book out there, find out what our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, can do for you. We know, Susanna, don't we, what they can do for writers. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with our guest, Susanna Lane, about her latest book, Enduring Promise. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Susanna and Henry. Stay tuned. Rendezvous with a Writer is sponsored by Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, your author publicity and book marketing team. Experienced, trusted, effective. Contact them today at bluecottageagency.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Special guests Henry Park and Susanna Lane. Welcome back.
So we are so delighted to have you with us tonight, Susanna. This is what an amazing read. This is the second book in a series. We're going to be talking in great depth about it in just a moment. But from the first page, you got me. I don't know, Henry, did you have a chance from the first page? Did you have a chance to read some?
Oh, yes. And I did it right. I did read it from the first page. And I'm only a couple of chapters in, I'm sorry to say, but I'm enjoying it very much.
Oh my gosh, you got the reader, you got us. Jim's going to just give a little biography to introduce you, Susanna, and then we're going to be off and running. So go ahead, Jim.
Susanna Lane, retired teacher, calls a rural North Georgia mountains home, though she and her late husband enjoyed exploring the West. As an award-winning author, Susanna enjoys walking beside each character, then analyzing what they would say against rugged backdrops. A proud member of both Women Writing the West and Western Writers of America, in 2022 she received the Western Writers of America Spur Award and the Will Rogers Silver Medallion for her first novel, Imperfect Promise. All right. Welcome, Susanna.
Congratulations on those awards. I can't wait to go back and read book one. I got to read book one, Susanna.
Well, Yeah. Oh, yeah. That helps. Yeah. Right.
Although this can be, so a reader's alert, you can thoroughly enjoy this book.
Stand alone.
Yep. Without reading book yep. one. It'll just wet your whistle for book one. You'll just want to get mm-hmm. it.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about your writing background.
Well, you know, I minored in English in college, and I thought I was a big deal then because I was in the editorial staff of a magazine there at college. That was many years ago. But then my father was in the science field, and he pushed me toward science. So I taught chemistry. I loved it. The thing that is parallel with what I do now is the research. I mean, I had to do a lot of research then. I have to do a lot of research with the writing. And also, I love the creativity then of developing labs. I love teaching lab work. And now I am really free to be creative with my writing in Westerns. So I would say that's the connection there. But I've dabbled in writing for years, but I also had to learn a lot along the way. So,
Do you
want to,
do you have a question?
You know, I was just, it's not pertaining to our questions or our thoughts here. But look, I saw the flag in the background. So your husband was a military guy. So I have one of my own because my own father was in the military and, we had the same, a similar flag. Mm-hmm. So I just want to comment.
Yes,
you spent a lot of time traveling to the West.
Yeah, we did. My husband introduced me to the West. I was an East Coast girl. I grew up on the East Coast, not far from New York in New Jersey. And my husband grew up in the farming country, cow country in New Jersey. But he went to college in Colorado. And he said, after we got married, hey, you want to go out west with me and we'll check it out? Well, I've never seen the Rockies except in movies. And the first time he drove down the road heading for Yellowstone and I saw this huge mountain rising up in front of me with snow on top, I said, stop the car and pull over. I had to get out and stare at that. And the rest was history because every year then we went out west. Traveled on the back roads, learned the horseback ride, did a couple cattle drives. We had a lot of fun. I'm sure ranchers out there would say, well, it's not fun. Well, it was for us, but of course we don't do it every day. And, you know, we were in all kinds of ranches from Arizona all the way up into Wyoming and just loved it. Our two sons also loved it as well. We took them along as they were growing up.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So, yeah.
What was your, were your cattle drive something like that movie, City Slickers?
I guess there were some of those types of episodes. I mean, there are some funny stories I could relate, but I guess they are not in the time we have. But yeah, there were some interesting times there. Yeah,
I got that.
I would imagine that you met a lot of interesting people probably along the way. My sense is you're very outgoing, and if you found yourself in a little town and there was somebody in a small shop or, you know, that you wouldn't think twice about introducing yourself and getting a little bit of story. Yes. Is that partly how
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I was out to the Western Writers Conference in Montana in 22, my first destination was Bannock and also Virginia City. And my husband loved the whole notion of panning for gold too, by the way. Sure. But we walked that along Grasshopper Creek, could see all the tailings. really got into the gift shops too and talked to the people about where were these, you know, mines located along here. And they would let us know and we could just track ourselves around town and found out some interesting things. Not just Bannock, but other, I mean, I even landed in a town out in, well, in the Superstition Mountains. There was a little Western town that had a church there. And actually, Henry might have heard of this, but it was from Elvis Presley was at this church. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, what in the middle? But they had moved the church from another town to there. And but they have it all decorated. Elvis, and it was used in a movie. I think that Elvis Presley was in. You pick up a lot of things in traveling around those old towns.
What you've chosen to write under a different name, Susanna Lane is your pen name or your writer's name. You want to tell us a little bit about where that name came from?
Well, it was my great grandmother, Susanna Lane, in Virginia. She was born in 1820. And my legal name is, even though one syllable, it is confused a lot. The letters, the double letters, people actually get that confused a lot. They either leave letters out or change the double letter to something else. And I was afraid that, you know, if I'm trying to promote a book, that name wouldn't stick very well. And so I liked the flow of Susanna Lane, and I thought it was such a pretty name. So I adopted it.
Yeah.
That's great. It fits right in. All those old folks in the old West had aliases.
Any name will do, right?
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about research, and we're going to take a break in just a moment. But I'm curious. I love to ask this question. When do you know you have enough research to go right?
When did I know I had enough research
like
to write?
When do you know, like,
well,
okay, enough research?
I was always... I continue my research while I'm writing. Okay. I don't stop. And if you'll notice, a lot of my stories are around Nebraska because I was fascinated with the Hell on Wheels towns and the way people got around and the railroad. That's why the story is along those railroad places and stops, because I wanted to move my characters around a little faster than they would normally get there. I think the railroad's fascinating anyway.
Yeah.
And the development of the story. So I keep those maps out in front of me, the old maps, the railroad maps, the depot, stations and where they're at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have a character, Court Enders, and he has maps on his desk. Anytime that you take us into his office space, you comment, the author lets us know that there are maps all around.
They brag about their ranch lands, you know. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, they sure do. We're going to step away for another moment to hear from another of our sponsors, and that is our own online business, outwestshop.com. And when we come back, we're talking with Susanna Lane and Henry Park Moore about Susanna Lane's book that you absolutely must read now, Enduring Promise. We'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out outwestshop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer with Henry Park and Susanna Wayne. We're talking to Susanna Wayne right now about our book, Endearing Promise. What was the inspiration, Susanna?
I would say that I've been inspired mainly by, of course, the scenery, the backdrop, the towns, the places. And I'm sure that along the way, I've seen, you know, ranchers, people, I mean, in their dusters riding off, and I'm that those are the kinds of things I'm impressed with. But I write from an outline, and I'll change it. You know, it's not carved in stone, but I do. I think even the movies. You know, you see Lonesome Dove or other stories, and you pick up on, gee, it was really interesting in those times. And I like to develop characters. So the characterization is really important to me. If you can have a story, but if the characters fall flat, you're not invested in the story. So that's where I am.
Remind us of the time period and the setting, mostly the setting.
It's mostly Nebraska, but it extends in the Montana as well, and South Dakota and the Dakotas. And yeah, I would say that's the prime setting for the story. It begins, though, with a little backstory in the Civil War, at the end of the Civil War. And that's the whole premise there, which I'll get to if you want me to go that direction. But the premise of the story was the end of the Civil War, there was a family in Virginia. And that family, the Enders, the father sets off to join the cause. And of course, his two boys want to as well. So the older boy, Bryce, goes along first, and the younger one follows or trails after them, unbeknownst to them. And after the war is over and they straggle back to the house, the parents are dead. But, you know, where's each one? Didn't know where the other one got to. And of course, no telephones, no forwarding addresses in those days. So that leaves you with dime novels or newspaper articles. And I was impressed out west in those old towns when I saw newspapers being used as chinking and as wallpaper on the old houses. And I thought, well, here's a thought, a newspaper article. And if you read that first book, you're going to find out why that's important in the infamous Court Enders. Yeah. Is in splashed around in those newspapers, and eventually can pick up on the fact that they're still alive. So
yeah. All the books, and there's two so far. The first book, remind me why I'm all the minute I'm forgetting the title of the book number one. What's book number one?
Enduring Promise.
No, that's book number two. That's what we read.
No, Enduring Promise.
Imperfect Promise.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And you have a book three on the way, and I think you have others after that. But the first three, anyway, all have promise in the title. What is it about promise that captivates you?
Well, they all have kept promises to either the lady that they love or the people that they're with. In the first book, Court makes a promise that, you know, he's going to stay on the ranch when he had an option to leave. I'll give you that much before you read it. And in the second book, Bryce makes a promise as well. To, you know, his lady, Hannah, and he keeps it. But they're also promising themselves as well to make life good for themselves, whether it be riches, ranching, or whatever. And the third book is lasting as well, but I dropped off the word promise because lasting is lasting promise implied.
And when is book three coming?
In October is the
release. Okay. Do you have another
question? I've been asked, did you come up with the cover?
Yeah, the covers are beautiful for book one.
That's my publisher. Casey Cohen is the graphic artist for my publisher, Ronan Weatherford. So, he did a great job with it.
And I'm assuming, although I don't know, but I'm assuming that the character on horseback might be Bryce. And it might be the way that Hannah might paint him. Yeah. Well, it could be it could be other characters, but that's what I wondered. Yeah.
Well, Hannah is an artist in the story, and that, you know, I like that element of her. It shows that she can do more than just, you know, work in the garden and round up cattle, but she's definitely in the art. Unfortunately, she didn't have enough money for all the paints and everything. So I brought that in and the kinds of things they used in those days.
Henry, did you have a question yet?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I was very intrigued by the fact that you said early on that your father encouraged you in the field of science, which is great because, well, my dad was a physicist, so I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I was very curious as to whether your scientific background, your teaching background, influenced your writing very much.
It does, in the sense that I'm meticulous. When you have lab work, you have to stick to the recipe, so to speak. You can't unless you want to blow yourself up at some point. But I stick to the details because I do not want my story to implode either. And that's, I think, involved in that. Yes. And also, if you'll notice, in the stories, in all of them, really, I bring up a lot of things about surgeons, because they weren't called doctors, they were surgeons. And the medicine intrigues me. All of the medicinal herbs and things that they've used, I pull that in there because it's interesting that they use this and how it's used. So it fascinates me.
That's a great question. We're going to step away just for a moment to tell you about one of the places that you can order the books from many of our author guests, including Susanna Lane's and Henry Park's Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the People Who Made Them, and Susanna Lane's books we're talking about tonight. And when we come back, Susanna is going to read a passage from Enduring Promise. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Get ready. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Susanna Lake about a book, Enduring. We got it right here in front.
Enduring Promise. Yeah, got it right here.
Now, we understand you're going to read a little bit, right?
Yep. Okay. I'm doing some excerpts, but I will say, to set it up, Bryce and Court are out on the range getting ready, rounding up cattle and doing branding along with Zeke. and the other hands. When they discover in the sky, off in the distance, it's turning purple. The sky is getting very dark and purplish looking, and the wind is picking up, and the cattle are getting pretty restless. And they realize this could be bad, a twister. Mm. And so they start to take refuge in the gullies. But Bryce has concern for Hannah Mae's safety. So he heads for her house, figuring she might be in trouble. And it turns out she is. So I'll just give you a quick excerpt from that. So both now stood motionless in the dark with only the faintest streak of light from wormholes in the wooden door. She barely made out his profile, but the rasp of his breathing told her he was near, her eyes riveted on the last barrier between them and the whirling devil outside. Neither said anything. A gust of wind rattled the door, threatening to suck it from the hinges. Then the howling wind began in earnest, leaving only each other and the sound of ruination above. Bryce studied the emotions playing over her shadowed face. He couldn't decide whether to offer her his touch of reassurance. He had to tread easy, not wanting to alarm her more than she already was. Above them, the house moaned and creaked. Taking her cold hands between his palms, he squeezed them. His eyes trailed over the rough walls. Suspended from wood rafters were nets filled with potatoes and onions. Long stalks of sunflowers and milkweed protruded from a burlap sack near his head, and he released one of her hands long enough to touch them. He dropped both hands to his side and she moved closer beside him. And he took the initiative and settled his arm around her shoulders. "What do you think is happening out there?" she asked. "It's either coming toward us or it's moving away. Not sure." She stepped from his arm and sat down against the hard packed dirt floor, then leaned her head back against the wall. With her knees hugged to her chest, she looked like a scared child. After a moment, he took a seat beside her, and with his legs outstretched, he listened to her murmur, "I'm scared." He says, "It seems natural." He wouldn't admit that he was scared, mostly for what they'd find once it was over. Confirmation of that thought proved true at the sound of splintering wood and shattering glass above. She pressed a hand against her mouth. He reckoned she had just stifled a scream. Mm. Deciding to keep her talking, he asked, "What possessed you to be out there with the damn chickens when the wind was picking up?" "Why, I have to hang on to whatever I can. What else would I do? I lost everything." "Sell out. Not because he's my brother and it would benefit him. That's true, but he is offering you a fair deal. Besides, you could use the money to start a new life someplace else, away from your husband. Lars owns this ranch, and I have no authority to sell. I've told you." He wished he had bitten his tongue. Instead, he huffed out a breath and continued, "Hannah, face the facts. Lars abandoned you, fool that he is. Still, he's likely dead. The gold fields are rough places, fevers, shootings, robbers, diseases. You can't go on living like this." As though he hadn't spoken, she whispered, "Bryce, it's awful quiet out there."
Very good.
Very nice.
I remember reading that scene and that tornado coming for him. Yeah,
I remember it too.
Yeah. A cinematic moment of many in this wonderful book. Susanna, let's talk about characters a little bit. Your characters are multi-layered, and most all of them have varieties of talents, all different kinds of talents. But I think you make sure they all have a little flaw of some kind.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, do they tell you, how do you know what their flaw should be? Or I don't know that that's the way to ask the question.
Well, I think it's their background, where they're coming from. And, you know, everybody does have a flaw here or there. And I like to, I don't think I want my characters to ever be perfect, because otherwise you would not have a really good story. There's something behind the flaw, and there's something behind the good side as well. Where did they come from? What happened to them? What made them that way? What formed that character? The bad things can form the character, and the good things also. So it's a mix of those things.
You know, we talked before, you like strong characters. You like to write strong characters, and particularly strong women characters.
Oh, yeah. I like to have those strong women characters, because back in the those days, women were not thought of as strong people. They were the little old lady that should stay on the, you know, porch and bake the pies, where I like them to get out there and actually be part of the action, and not be, you know, wimpy or sniveling women out there. I like them to have a past, and I like to bring that forward in the story as well. And they do. All of them have something going on, and all the men do as well. Mm-hmm. So I do like the strong characters, and that actually connects me back to my former life of teaching as well, because I used to encourage girls into engineering. It was part of my attitude.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, we know you got control of these folks, but did they ever surprise you, your characters?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And in the one that you read, Enduring Promise, you know, I think you would be surprised at the one that surprised me the most, the writer, and that was Salty. If you remember him, they encountered him. He was shooting at them as they were heading north into Montana, the miner. And he was quite a character. I hadn't even thought of him in my outline, but I needed to direct them to the right place to find Lars. And they needed information. And he provided the information in an offbeat way. And so he was a surprise as I was writing. Yeah.
We I I'm looking at that clock on the wall. Oh my goodness, we are running so low on time. So, Susanna, tell us what are the books that are coming? It's part of the series. So, what can we expect to see down the road?
Okay. My next book is coming out in October, Lasting. And one of the characters in the first two will be stepping forward and will become the main character. Then in my fourth book, I changed up the title a little bit. It's going to be, and it's the same, a Promise series. It's still Promise series, but it's called Distance Between Stars. Mm-hmm. And it has a very interesting theme. Mm-hmm. That very different theme. And then there might be, I have to talk to the publisher to see, but I have a fifth book in my mind that will address a character that you were introduced to, Reyes.
Oh, Reyes, yes. Yeah. Okay, that's you.
Yes, right. Yeah, and Bryce's son, yeah.
And where can people find your books and find out what you have going on? Where can they go?
Well, they're on Amazon, Kindle. And if you go to my website, SusannaLane.com, You can click the button there and it'll take you to all the places where you can then purchase the book. So great. All the books.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, Henry, same kind of questions for you. Where can people find you and have you got anything coming up next?
Okay, well, let's see. They can find me at henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com. You can find my articles in True West every issue. You can find me at the INSP blog. And haven't got anything really specific coming up except in those venues right now. I'm in negotiations, actually, for a second book, but I'm not going to talk about it in case it falls through.
All right. All right. Let's see, Jim, you have a quote.
We have a quote. We do. You know, I don't know how often I quote you, Henry, but I'm going to quote you tonight. This is from your article on Chris Gustafson.
Uh-huh.
And toward the end of the interview, and you're asking him, what was it like working with the other highwaymen, which were his musical compadres? And Gustafson says, they were my heroes, and the notion that they would one day be my friends and working partners, well, I look back on it as probably the best 10 years of my life. Willie, Waylon, and John.
Yeah, yeah. We were so thrilled we got to see him at least one time live that we really remember, and we were so happy we got to do that. Well, thank you, both of you, Henry Park and Susanna Lane, for being with us tonight. It was just delightful to share this rendezvous with you. This is episode 125, and you'll be able to find it on most all streaming platforms. You can search it later this evening. It'll already be up on Facebook, on the LA Talk Radio Facebook page and the Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook page. And then I'll be getting it up on Podbean, the audio of it, and it'll go out to Spotify and Amazon Music and such. And we want to take a moment to tell you about next week. We are, it's thriller time. We have two authors with us next week, and each of them have thrillers. So Richard Sherry is joining us, and we'll be talking about his political thriller, the first in a series. And this one is called A Month of Sundays. And I can't put it down. I'll be back reading this tonight, Richard, if you're listening. And then Frank Weber returns. We've had Frank on a couple of times, and his thriller, The Sun, is the latest of his titles, and they will both be with us next week. And I don't think that there's anything else.
I think that's, we're getting close to wrap up. Huh?
I think we're getting close to wrap up. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
We'll have to have you back when another book is out, Susanna.
All right. I'll be here. Thank you.
We'll see you next month.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing. We'll keep reading. We'll see you down the trail.
Thanks, folks.